So, over the last few weeks, we've been starting this series called Meals with Jesus. And in case you haven't noticed, every week I've got you to have a brief conversation with the person next to you about your food of the week. So, same question as last week. One, what's your favourite meal this week? You've only got 30 seconds, off you go.
Favourite meal.
Good stuff, good stuff. So hopefully you've had a conversation about favourite meal. This one might take a bit longer, maybe a bit more thinking. Again, have a conversation with the person next to you. If you can't think of one immediately, maybe something to discuss over lunch. Any meals that have changed your life? Ones that you look back and think, ooh, changed my life. Meals that have changed your life. It's an interesting one, isn't it? Meals that have changed your life. Has anyone got any they want to share? Anyone got any good stories?
Yeah. And it's the only pasta that changed my whole thinking.
Wow.
The root of my face.
Fantastic, thanks. If you missed that, that was a messianic Passover. Changed his entire way of thinking and understanding the Bible. And it was all about the meal. Wonderful. Any others?
Any others? Communion. Holy communion, because you're communing with God. You have that moment in a communion service when he's really close. And it changed my life. I gave my life to Jesus after communion.
Incredible.
Wow,
so Judy gives her life to Jesus after a communion meal. A meal, communion is best understood as a meal. I know it's only a little bit of bread and a little cup that we have here, but it's a meal. It's meant to be part of a meal. Any others? Interesting, isn't it? That you can look back on your life, I don't know, my wedding meal probably changed my life. That was true. A couple of people, wedding. You can look back on your life and you think, well, actually, we eat things all the time, don't we? But that meal, like, for Annie and Judy, especially those two, they can picture them. That was the meal, and then everything changed. Everything changed after that. And that is the story of Zacchaeus, isn't it? That's the story of Zacchaeus. The story of a guy who has a meal with Jesus, and it changes everything about his life. We can have the first one, please, Jess. That would be good. Here's Zacchaeus. Now, I mean, the thing about the story is, you can, like, Luke's writing it, and it's got lots of serious aspects to the story of Zacchaeus. And we will be unpacking some of them. Like, you read the story, and there are some serious, there's some life-changing truths that we can read from the story. But equally, it is just quite funny, isn't it? I mean, you can see why in every children's Bible, it always has the story of Zacchaeus. Because, I mean, I'll just read one of the lines. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but he was too short. Oh, anyone had that experience? Yeah, they're just too short. I mean, my poor mother, she's always getting lost in crowds. Just because I think she's been to some music festivals, but I don't think she's ever seen a band live. Like, she's been in the venue, but I don't think she's ever actually seen them because of, she's just too short. He wants to see Jesus, but he's just, it's almost comical, isn't it? He wants to see Jesus, but he was too sure. Imagine you're Zacchaeus, and you hear that this rabbi with some amazing new teaching is coming into town. You hear that this Jesus has been healing people and changing people's lives and bringing this new teaching that's blowing people's minds, and you really want to see him, but unfortunately, you're just too short, and you can't quite see him. Ever felt like that with Jesus? Or ever felt like you really want to get close to Jesus, but you just feel like you're a bit too short? And you look around you, and there's all these people, and they seem to see Jesus more clearly than you. And you look around and you're like, well, they get to see Jesus. They're just a bit taller. Maybe they've got a bit more, I don't know, maybe they've had a bit more experience. Maybe look around and you think, how comes you guys get to see Jesus more clearly? Is it because you understand more? You look around and you think, how comes you seem to get it but I don't? I just feel like I'm missing the picture here. That's what Zacchaeus is thinking. I just can't see Jesus clearly. And all the rest of you around me, they seem to see him much better than me. But I don't see Jesus in the way everyone else does. Because I'm too short. There's too many things between me and Jesus. There's distractions. Got a mortgage to pay. If you understood my family situation, you'd understand that there's no way I can see Jesus through that. If you understood my past, you'd understand. There's no way I can see Jesus. I'm just too short. If only I could see Jesus clearly. And that's Zacchaeus. Picture your Zacchaeus. And you hear that Jesus is coming into town. I've got some questions for Zacchaeus about how he acts. Because I think it's interesting. He hears that Jesus is coming into town. And given that he is a short man, he finds a tree and climbs it. Now I've got all kinds of questions for Zacchaeus at this point. Like, why wouldn't you just get to the front of the crowd? What is it about you that means that you'd rather climb a tree? Like, I'm no tree climber, so basically if there's any option other than climbing a tree, I'm definitely taking it. And you feel like, but no, you've deliberately gone ahead of the crowd. It says that Zacchaeus ran. He ran ahead of the crowd, and then he finds a tree, and he thinks, oh, I'll just climb that, and then I'll be able to see Jesus from my tree. Do you run to Jesus, or do you hide in a tree at a distance? One of the things that, if you speak to Jewish people who study the Torah, which is the Old Testament, if you speak to Jewish people who study the Torah, they've got this technique of understanding and mining truth from the Bible. And it's called first mention. So if something comes up in the Bible and they're like, oh, that's an interesting phrase, what they do is they go back to the first time in the Bible that it was mentioned. And they're like, oh, there's a reflection here. There's something that's mentioned here. But if we go back to the start, the first time that's ever mentioned, then we'll see if we can mine some meaning for it. So I thought I'd do this with this passage.
And the line I picked was, do you run to Jesus or do you hide in the tree? And it says, Zacchaeus, he went and he hid in the tree. So I thought, where in the Bible do we first read about someone hiding in the tree? And you don't have to look very far, do you? Allow me to read from you from Genesis 3, verse 8. And this is the chapter that will be entitled in your Bible, The Fool. And it's after Adam and Eve have messed up and they've eaten from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And they know they've done wrong. And if we read Genesis 3:8, it says this. And they heard the sound of God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. There's something in what Zacchaeus does that mirrors what Adam and Eve did in Genesis. Because they know they want to be near God. They know they want to be near Jesus. But there's something in them that says, I can't do that because I've messed up. There's something in them that says, I know that you're telling me Jesus is really good. I know that you're telling me that Jesus is going to change my life. But to be honest, I'd rather just hide at the back in the tree. I don't want to run to Jesus' feet. Because I'm too short, I'd rather just hide in the tree and see if he notices. And Adam and Eve hid in the trees of the garden. It's easy to talk about Jesus. It's harder to talk to Jesus. It's easy to know a lot about God. It's hard to know God. It's easy to sit in the tree and watch everything happen from a distance. But it's hard to run to Jesus and say, whatever you want, I'm yours. Adam and Eve, they know that they want to be in the presence of God. They've lived their whole lives walking with him in the Garden of Eden, but they mess up. And there's something within them and they start this fear and they think, if you knew God what I'd done, then you'd kill me. So they hide in the trees. And Zacchaeus, He wants to see Jesus, but he's like, Jesus, if you knew what kind of person I was, if you knew my past, if you knew my situation, if you knew my family life, if you knew what I did, there's no way that you'd spend time with me. So Zacchaeus does what Adam and Eve did. He does what we do when we feel like there's stuff in our lives that barriers from God. He does what we hide in the trees, don't we? I read this, and I'm Zacchaeus. I do that. I am Zacchaeus. I'm the man with things in my past that sometimes I just wish were different. I'm the man who often wants to see Jesus, but sometimes it's easier to keep him at a distance. I'm the man who I know that I need Jesus. I know that I need him, but it's sometimes easier just to sit in the tree and watch how everyone else interacts around him than it is to run up to the front and grab his cloak. It's easy to think that Jesus is all right at the distance. Jesus is okay over there with the religious people, with the taller people. But for me, I'm too short, so I'll just hide in my tree and I'll watch from the leaves. You might feel like Zacchaeus this morning. You might feel that you've just kept Jesus at a distance. I don't know what it is that you feel you're hiding behind. I don't know why you feel you can't run to Jesus. Maybe it's something in your past. Maybe it's something in your family. Maybe it's, I don't know. But you're hiding in the tree. You're all right if Jesus is over there, but don't come too close to what's going on. And then Jesus sees Zacchaeus. And Jesus looks at Zacchaeus and he sees him in the tree. And he says, Zacchaeus, I must come to your house today. I must come to your house today. I must come. Zacchaeus, I've got to spend some time with you. I've got to do it. I see you beyond all the crowds. I see you hiding in the tree. I know you think you're not good enough. I know you think that you're too short. I know you think there's stuff in the past that barriers to me. I know you think that you can't run up to me, but I tell you what, Zacchaeus, I want to spend time with you. Do you ever come to worship and you think, ah, we're just singing this song again, all right? And then suddenly it clicks, wait a second, the God who created the universe actually wants to spend time with me, so maybe I should pay attention. That happens to me a lot. It normally takes about a song and a half. And I realise, and I'm like, ah, well, I did this song, oh, yeah, we did it. And then I realise, wait a second, the God of the universe is looking at me saying, Seven, I want to spend time with you. I want to spend time with you. Come down from your tree. I want to spend time with you. And God walks through the shadow, the cool of the day, and he calls out to Adam and Eve, where are you? Where are you? Jesus says the same thing to you, but he says to Zacchaeus, he says, will you come down from the tree? Because I've got to spend time with you. There's another story, which is very similar to this one, and I want to read it to you from Mark 10. And he was starting out on a journey. A man ran up to Jesus and he knelt before him. And he said to him, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one's good except God alone. You know the commandments. Don't murder. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't bear false witness. Don't defraud. Honour your father and mother. And he said to Jesus, teacher, I've kept all of these things from my youth upwards. Jesus felt a love for him as he looked at him and said to him, one thing you lack. Go and sell all of your possessions and give it to the poor. Then you'll have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. But at these words, the rich man was saddened and he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property. My question to you is, when Jesus sees you hiding in the tree, when Jesus sees you thinking that you can't come closer, and he says, I want to spend some time with you, can I come round your house for lunch? Will you say yes? Or like the rich young ruler, will you say, no, it costs too much. It costs too much. To finish this morning, I want to just talk you through three levels of truth, which I learned yesterday at this conference. So I thought I'd share it with you because it is brilliant. Okay, so the first level of truth is called like objective truth, where something is true because it happened. All right?
like England genuinely are in a semi-final. I know, every time I say it, I need to pinch myself. They genuinely won 2-0 in a quarter-final. Incredible. Anyway, so the objective truth is England genuinely won. It's a fact. It actually happened. I watched it. I know I couldn't believe it, but it genuinely did. We scored twice. Anyway, objective truth is an event that happens. And no matter how much you argue about it, it did. It's objective truth. Well, it's true. It happened. It was an event. Then there's another level of truth, which is that this thing has meaning. It has meaning for me. I'll give you another example, which is the one I heard yesterday, which was really helpful. Imagine a baby is born. And I say this to Boaz a lot. Baby, small child, small human. I know he looks a bit like an alien. I'm aware. He is a baby. They all do. But I regularly say, you are the most beautiful boy in the world. You are the most beautiful boy in the world. Is that true? Of course it is. Now, you could come up to me and say, excuse me, Sam, there are a lot of boys in the world. Loads of them. So, statistically speaking, the chances of your son being the most beautiful is fairly low. There's about 3 billion of them, so probability-wise, it is unlikely your boy is the most beautiful boy in the world. What's more, he looks a bit like an alien. Anyway, but I would say, you don't get it. Of course it's true. There's a truth to that. It's not objective truth. It's not that it happened. It's something that stirs within you. You identify meaning because of the occurrence. Does that make sense? So the objective truth is that Boaz was born. That's a fact. I was there. I can honestly tell you I saw it. Sometimes I wish I hadn't, but I am. Sorry. There's a level of truth that he's the most beautiful boy in the world, and it's not an objective, but it is a truth. But you can still miss out on the third level of truth. Imagine that every night I go, and this is the example they used yesterday that I thought was brilliant. Imagine every night I go to the pub, I play darts, I have a pint, I go home. About 11 o'clock. Right, that's my. I don't, if you've ever seen me play darts, you'll know that this can't be true, but whatever. Imagine, every night I play darts, I have a pint with my mates, and then I go home. I could understand that my boy has been born. It's an objective truth. I could even say, every time that I say, you are the most beautiful boy in the world, I could even get that as a level of meaning. But I've missed the bit of truth that allows me to change the way that I live as a response to it. Does that make sense? Yes, Boaz has been born. I can still say he's the most beautiful boy in the world and honestly mean it. But unless it affects the way that I live, I've missed out on that third level of truth. Because eventually Charity's going to say to me, what are you doing? Stop going to play darts and have a pint every night. You've got a baby now. Things should be different. We've got the fact, Boaz has been born. We've got the truth, the metaphorical truth that he's the most beautiful boy. But unless it affects the way that I live, I'll never fully grasp the truth of the fact that I have a son. With Jesus, there is an objective truth. You can know that Jesus lived. It's true. You can do the research. You can even have an understanding that Jesus was God. You can even let that change how you view Jesus. So when we talk about Jesus, you can be like, I understand that Jesus was God. We know he lived. We can understand that he was God, but let me tell you, unless it affects the way that we live day to day, we are missing out on that third level of truth. Unless we understand, like Zacchaeus was happy with the first two levels. He got that Jesus was around. He got that Jesus was important. But when he had the opportunity to let Jesus affect every bit of his life, he said yes. That was the difference between him and the rich young ruler. The rich young ruler got that Jesus was around. He understood that Jesus was important, which is why he asked him advice. But when Jesus said, this needs to change everything about the way that you live your life, the rich young ruler said, no. When Zacchaeus had the same option, he said, half of everything I own, I'll give to the poor. And if I've cheated anyone, four times as much. I don't know where you are on that scale. I don't know whether you've accepted that Jesus existed, and if you don't, I'm willing to have a conversation about you and you can talk about it. But to be honest, we can argue about it till the cows come home, it won't make a difference. It might be that you know Jesus exists, you know he's important, you know he's God, but I'd rather just stay in my tree and Jesus can deal with the people over there. But I would invite you
to take that jump that Zacchaeus did. To say, Jesus, I know you're there. I know that you're God. I know you're important. And now, you can take my life. You can know Jesus exists.
You can even have a relationship with him and invite him around for a meal. And the question then is, what do you do with it afterwards? Will you allow Jesus to affect all of your decisions? Will you make him king? Not just someone that we see once a week through the leaves of the tree that we're hiding behind. It's for you. Zacchaeus was not a nice man. And if Jesus can say to Zacchaeus, come down from the tree, I want to have dinner with you, I assure you he's saying the same thing to you this morning. Just say yes. Let's pray together. And then Charles is going to lead us in the final song.
God, we thank you that we can do our research and we can come to the conclusion that you existed. We thank you that there's evidence. God, we thank you for the scriptures that point to the truth that you are God. We thank you for the scriptures and the people around us that point us to the truth that you matter, that your kingdom is a better way. But God, we do not want to stop there. Father, will you allow these truths to influence the way that we live our life? We want to come down from our trees. We know that our past does not matter to you because you paid the ultimate price on the cross to deal with it. We want to, with Zacchaeus, say yes to your invitation to making you king. Thank you that you are looking at us this morning and inviting us to a deeper relationship with you, one that affects everything. And we want to say yes to you this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.